This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
He said, why don't you try and fill the snooker tray with rubbish? And I was like, no, because it would mess up my table. And then I realized that lids are universally sized, yeah? And they're quite colorful as well. And so it's a 7x4 foot pool table. And he said, well, see, I challenge you to, in 2023, try and fill that with lids. And it took a month and a half.
Welcome back to season two of the Tread Lightly podcast. If you thought season one was just about recycling, hugging trees, think again, because this time we're taking things up a notch, talking about everything from how community shapes our planet to why faith might just have something to say about the environment, and even digging into the quirks of human behaviour.
I think we all realised quite quickly that the environmental conversation is way too big to keep simple. So we're diving in headfirst at the deep end. Buckle in, because this season we're going to get real. Let's go.
Let's do this.
In this episode, we chat to Kieran, who's better known by his other name, a rubbish snooker. Although not your most regular sport you might think of, but instead he collects rubbish and he makes art on his giant outdoor snooker table.
He also loves collecting shopping lists that he finds out and about, and he also loves to take his art and his message for the environment into schools and communities. We think that you will love this rubbish episode just as much as us. Hello and welcome back to this episode where we have the amazing Kieran Paul. Hello, Kieran.
Hello, that sounds like I'm a magician. The amazing Kieran Paul.
Can I just say, you could be a magician.
No.
Not feeling it?
No, but I recently did a workshop about what we're going to talk about. And so it's about snooker art. I make glitter on a snooker table. And I didn't know what to ask the kids to call me, because Mr. Paul, which is my surname, sounds like a stage name, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Is that by chance then that you make art on pool tables?
It's a complete idea.
I've only just got that.
So I was like, I cannot ask people to call me Mr. Paul because I sound like I'm, yeah,
it's a stage name. You do need a stage name, don't you, though?
I was like, just call me Kieran, please. Just call me Kieran.
It's not got the same ring. I think we need to, by the end of this podcast, come up with a stage name for you. So okay, cool. For our listeners who do not know who the amazing
Mr. Paul is.
Then who are you? What do you do? And why are we talking to you today?
Yeah, cool. So I moved to Medway 2 years ago, and I created something called Rubbish Snooker, which is mosaics made out of lids and ring pulls on an outdoor snooker / pool table. I moved to Medway, 2 years ago, and the amount of litter near where I live specifically is pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do something about it. I bought an outdoor pool table, which is quite odd in itself. Like, it's a specially designed outdoor pool table, so it can take any weather. I bought that to play on it, would you believe? Because that's the very function of a pool table. And I quite like snooker and pool. And then a mate of mine sort of suggested to try and fill the table with litter, just to see like how much it would be.
So presumably you can't play pool on it now?
I can when the lids aren't on it. So
you have it, you can take it on and off.
Yeah, so I'll explain the process. Okay. Yeah, so basically, so with the art, I put the lids on it, take a photograph of it, and then take all the lids away.
Oh.
And they're sorted into boxes in by colour, obviously.
I mean, Stacey Solomon is going to have an absolute field day with this. Please tell me how you store your lids, because I presume you just said colour by colour.
Mm-hmm. By shade and by size.
Where are the lids from then? So when you go out collecting litter, mm-hmm. I might be jumping ahead a little bit here. When you go out collecting litter, do you only collect lids of bottles and
bottles? No, I take anything, and then I take the lids off and the ring pulls off of cans.
Oh, okay.
And then I clean them, sterilise them.
So. Would you expect him to say he finds a bottle
and then just leaves
takes
the
lid off, chucks the bottle, takes the lid back home with him?
I've done my bit.
Not interested in the rest. So, but I was more thinking that, in my head, I was thinking, how are you finding these lids? And then you went, I take the lid off. And I'm like, oh yeah, they're attached to bottles. That was more the thing.
But you see them like loose as well. So I've got about 12,000 at least. I get sent lids from like other litter picking groups across the country now. So I get like boxes of lids sent to me, and I've got a box that are just full of broken ones, like ones that have been run over. Uh-huh. And I use them, and they're all clean and sterilized. And I use them with the kids in workshops, because like, to show that you can make art out of anything. So these lids have been run over by cars, lorries, you know, all broken. It's the idea that we can make stuff out of them. And that's like really, I find that really rewarding, because like, it's something that's broken, yeah? And you're making like something pretty out of it.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, so like when I first started doing it, what I would do is, what I still do is that I would collect a load of cans. So say like there's one road near me that you could get at least 75 cans on easily.
Whoa.
Littered, yeah? Littered. So that's like 75 ring pulls. And then I put them in the recycling. And I don't drink, by the way. I'm teetotal. Bear that in mind. So then I put it out in my rubbish. And like the bin men think I have like the greatest parties ever.
Yeah.
On a Monday.
Week after yeah. week.
They're like,
week.
Mr. Paul, yeah. he gets good yeah. parties.
Like, and it's not just like one drink. It's like the most varied. It looks like a party because it's every drink you've ever seen. And so much Red Bull. And yeah, I haven't consumed any of it. But it goes out in my recycling.
Wow, that's really cool that you get to recycle it as well. Not even just... like
yeah so like if I'm just walking along and I see it, I will put it in just like a public bin, but if like if I'm doing like a proper litter pick, yeah, I'll try and recycle it.
How often do you go out litter picking?
Every time I'm out. So like as in like officially litter picking, I suppose, is like I go like running or something. But wherever I am though, if I see a lid or input, I pick it up. But wherever I'm walking, I'm sure you guys do it as well, like if I see something, I just pick it up and put it in a bin. It's an obsessive thing now. I can't stop.
You can't stop spotting it.
I've had like adults as well as kids, but like a lot of adults have said like, I just keep seeing lids everywhere now. Because you don't see it, you don't spot it.
Yeah.
You know, until 100%. Someone says to you. Like you'll realise the amount of vapes you see everywhere. Now, perhaps after this conversation, vapes are absolutely everywhere and they're awful for so many reasons.
So and bad. Vape stickers, like it took me a real long time to look at, see, I'd like be walking, I'd see the bins outside the shop. There'd be all like these white stickers and I'd be thinking, What is that? I've like never noticed that before. And it's the sticker from the vape.
From the vape. Every like, single bin.
Yeah.
Mad, just isn't it?
Covered.
Yeah. You're so right. Once you spot stuff, you can't stop seeing it, can you? But why, I know this might seem an obvious question, but why did you go litter picking, decide to take the lid off bottles, and then go, I'm going to try and make some art with this? Where did that thought process come from?
I don't know. I give a different answer to everyone that asks me because I don't know. So I just try and like, I'll give you one of the three options I give. So I say my mate, so I got this snooker table, and my mate, like, who doesn't understand why I litter pick at all, he's like, you know, it's someone else's rubbish, why are you doing
okay.
this? And he said, why don't you try and fill the snooker table with rubbish? And I was like, no, because it will mess up my table. And then I realized that like, lids are universally sized, yeah, and they're quite colorful as well. And so it's a 7x4 foot pool table, and he said, well, see, I challenge you to in 2023 try and fill that with lids. And it took a month and a half.
No way.
And that's over 1,600 lids, and it was all littered. And then I was like, okay, cool, that's done. So I put them in a bag ready to recycle them. And I was like, hang on a minute, why don't, for a laugh, I become an artist? And now I'm
for
here.
For a laugh?
Well, yeah, because I'd never done art before. Like, I've never made art in my life. So I didn't do art at school.
That's quite an important cool. statement to make right there.
Go on.
Well, like, I love that people just go, I am this and now I am this. Like we say this all the time, that if you create something and you say, this is what it is,
it is
that is what it is.
I heard the term speaking it into reality quite recently, and really? I'd never really heard that before. And you just, if you say it is, it is. You're an artist now. Like there's no denying that.
And I've had like bits in galleries as well, which kind of like freaked me out initially. Because it's like, whoa, like what's, you know, I don't own a scarf. Like what do I do? I don't know. Is it a cravat? What's the thing that like artists wear? Is it a cravat?
You need to get yourself a cravat now, don't you?
What is a cravat though? It's a word that I've heard.
What is that?
It's a fashionable thing that I clearly don't know what it is. But yeah, like I did that, and then I made the Scream, so Edvard Munch's Scream, and then the Mona Lisa. And again, I was just doing it thinking like, I'm not going to sell these. And then I started making more complex things, my own pieces, and then eventually people were buying them. And I also do stuff with shopping lists. So I like shopping lists, cause like handwritten shopping lists, because each one of them tells a story. So,
love that. Did this come after?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. So I probably just found one in the shopping list, a basket, and was like, oh, that's quite interesting. Kept it. And then now I've got like about 400 of those, and I make collages out of them. And I'm creating a gallery, where you can like, cause my background's in comedy as well. I'll add that now. So I'm like, I'm adding like a funny story for each shopping list, if you see what I mean.
Thinking about where it came from and what people's like stories.
Because you get like spelling errors on it that are just absolutely adorable.
Well, we've got a present for you.
What have you got?
Here is a shopping list that I found in an Aldi trolley. Is this the sort of thing that you collect?
Yeah, because also it says cat litter on it, which makes me laugh because it's actually turned into litter, hasn't it? This in itself.
Yeah.
Is that the comedy bit coming out?
I don't know. Did you laugh? I never said I was good at it, remember? And there's a reason I'm now an artist and not a comedian. But yeah, like every single one of them tells a story.
What's on the list?
Oh, so bananas, grapes, pears, mushrooms, onions, garlic, peppers, toms. And what I love, right? What I like is when people like write it in long form, but certain ones don't get that. So tomatoes always is toms.
Obviously.
And I like the idea that they're coming back with a Tom, a Tommy and a Thomas. And they're like, oh no, I've got three sons now. fish, chicken, chicken thighs, cat litter, bread, biscuits, squash, chips, sweet corn. Nice bread. That's what I like. Nice bread.
Yeah. Nice bread.
So someone's come back and like, that's not nice. Go back.
And if you hadn't written nice on the list, then when you'd have got there, you'd have bought the crap one and then gone back home and be like,
oh no, I said the nice.
But some are like the so it's really cute because you often see like a kid's written it and then the parents gone like, no, you can't have chocolate again, you can't have chocolate again. Or like the let's like a husband's written it and then the wife's gone, no,
absolutely not gonna.
You had like two of them last week, not getting you for that again. Nope, 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 nope.
What do you reckon that person's story is then, the one that you just put down? Does it make
you
think?
The one that you found. This is spontaneous. I like the fact that it says nice bread. So it's like the idea that this person just keeps being fed up with or whoever's written it is getting fed up that they're coming back with average bread.
Crap bread.
Well, just average bread.
How old do you reckon they are?
Oh, goodness me. I mean, I'm not a sociologist here, so.
You're a comedian and an artist.
I have no idea. Well, I suppose who writes handwritten shopping lists? Like, is it an age thing? Because do young people use their phones?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I do.
What do you determine a young
Do you know
person,
what I find fascinating about that list, as the person who does the food shop in my house, is I found that in an Audi trolley. So therefore, they must have shopped in Audi, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, genius, that statement just right there. But they have written that list in the order that they get.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Food.
Yeah, so the aisles,
so therefore they know in which order through the shops. So they
seasoned,
don't have...
Yeah, they're a seasoned shopping list.
So it would be chaos if they went to another store because...
It wouldn't work. Because they'd have to go back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. So it only works in an...
But also, like, it's amazing how many people, like, leave their shopping list, right? So say they're littered, yeah? It's litter, right?
It is litter, yeah.
Like, and it's not the worst litter because it would, you know, disintegrate and stuff. But, like... I find that psychology quite strange. Like, I'll just leave it in there for the next person. I just find that quite odd. So I've got all these shopping lists, but you've got to remember every single one of them has been littered. I'm not like nicking them out of people's hands, like Dorothy's hands as she's at the till.
No, yeah.
I'm not, because that would be very odd behaviour. But people are littering them in the baskets on the shop floor, I don't know, wherever.
What about receipts? Are you a lover of them or are you not really that bothered?
Receipts can't be recycled, can they?
I've no idea. Don't even think twice about a receipt, to be honest.
Do you know what my godparents do? They put them in the sink, pour water on them, and then like mash them up and put them in a bin.
Yeah, because I think they're a different type of paper, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's the shininess on it.
But it's printed, like it's the handwriting that I really like.
Oh, is it? That's the bit that floats your boat, the handwriting.
I'm sure it floats lots of people's boats. I mean, you know, like the annual meeting of all the shopping list collectors. Goodness me, that was a good time. ironically, we met and no one brought food because no one made a list.
Obviously. But, you're bringing along Barbara's list.
Oh, I love a Barb's.
Where's your head at with people who litter? Because obviously we have conversations about litter picking at the Hub all the time. And there seems to be a quite clear distinction between... That's disgusting. People need to sort themselves out. Actually, there's three. There's one that says the government needs to come in and sort something out, and other people who are like, where do I sign up? This is a great thing to do. And obviously, you're in camp three. But where's your head at with people that litter? Do you think is it a kind of a lack of education? Is it a lack of pride? Do you find in the areas that you've litter picked that it gets littered less? Kind of where's your head at?
I think, first of all, some people genuinely accidentally litter. I'm sure I've littered before, right? I know I have, as a kid I definitely know I did, and I'm sure I've accidentally littered as well. I think more bins would be just the main thing. Like, it frustrates me that you know, the majority of stuff you find isn't good stuff, i.e. alcohol or energy drinks or vapes or cigarette boxes.
Are they mostly what you find?
Yeah, I think more bins would help. I don't know if it comes down to education, I don't know, and I don't know if it comes down to pride in area. I think where there's people, there's litter, and it's all to do with collections, I suppose. Someone said to me, and it's kind of stuck, litter attracts litter. So if you see litter, you're more likely to litter.
Yeah, you've said that, haven't you? Yeah.
So, and I had never thought of that before, and I suppose it's true. So like part of, you know, people, like there's one area that I litter pick that if I was to do it today, it would be the same tomorrow.
Okay.
The same stuff, right?
So I have heard you tell a story about
the bottles.
Yeah, could you tell that?
Okay, so there's an area where there's 10 every week, like 10 to 12 water bottles left in the same place and like a verge in the green bit, greenery. And inside each bottle is about an inch of water with a cigarette in it.
Okay.
So I assume it's a driver that's smoking and then putting it out in the bottle quite safely, quite sensibly. But and don't want them in their car slash vehicle. So they then stick them at this same place. So basically
so
every
week. So they smoked 10 fags in 10 bottles of water and then lobbed all 10 out the window? Or they do it once a day, you mean?
No, so I think they've got 10 in there, probably across the week or something, in the car, and then they've gone, right, I'll go and deliver it to where the magic fairies come and collect them, okay. i.e. moi. Mm. And yeah, and then it's almost like clockwork. So like, if I were to go there now, they'd be there, and then I take them. I don't recycle, well, I kind of get rid of them because they stink, and obviously it's not very pleasant.
A full of fags, yeah.
Hygiene issues. So I just get rid of them. And yeah, so like, but the argument is, so like that sounds like really pointless thing to do, right? Because it's like, well, it's just going to continue. But litter attracts litter. So if I take it, someone else might come along and go to litter and then be like, oh, that's cleared. Oh, I might not litter now, I hope. But that's probably, you know, that's really common. There's a bus stop where there are Stella Artois cans, about 30 of them at any given time in the same place.
So someone just goes there to do the same thing week in, week out?
Yeah, or group, you know, I don't know.
And I think that's fair, right? So you go and meet and you drink some cans with your mates in a certain place. I do get it. What I just don't get is why there was never...
There is a bin there, I should add,
ever,
as well.
Ever there's the a bin that right they're going to get rid of it, yeah.
There's a bin right by the bus stop.
Oh!
So that's the more frustrating bit. I think it's like dangerous to stereotype, like who's doing the litter? Like anyone can litter, so I don't really... Like I never really think it's a particular sort of part of society. I think it's everyone. I think it's really easy to be like, oh, I don't litter, all they're scum. Well, not really. Like, I just think they might not realise.
I
think anyone can litter.
I have definitely littered. And when, I don't know if you've ever met Belinda Lamb, who is running Medway Estuary Swell Partnership. She organises lots of litter picks. And she has, similar to you, she collects Smarties.
Yes.
And it's amazing. Right. I know that it's probably about 4,000 of them are mine from being a kid.
And
I grew
she,
up
she
in
gets
that
them
area.
In the sea, doesn't she? Yeah. And the colours. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like, yeah, we all litter. Like, there's no...
And I saw somebody the other day. We were stopped at the traffic lights and there was a very swanky car in front of us and they wound down their window and threw out their vape box and their plastic from this vape. And it was so bizarre for me because, one, I have not seen somebody... litter like that, like in such a long time. I haven't
just lobbing it out the window.
Right there, I've not seen it for such a long time. And my brain just boggled at, like, obviously you don't want it in your car, but then you just
why
save
not though?
It.
Why do you not want it in the car? Is
You'd
it
because
it's
because it. Yeah, because
it's the size of what? Like a vape is just like smaller than a mobile phone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like it's not damaging your suspension.
But you until you get to another well, if it's like my car is just full of all of my kids and my husband's absolute rubbish. That's
like
why I don't want
like,
it in
yeah,
my
like
car.
McDonald's people keep their
yeah,
McDonald's
they keep
stuff.
It, yeah. Yeah. But I hadn't seen it like that in such a long time. Do you know what I mean? I was like, oh my gosh, that is.
It's also like this dangerous, like, in terms of a road, isn't it? Like chucking it on a road and out of a moving car, like it's a missile basically. There's all sorts of elements.
It was a
that.
Box.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know.
And also like vapes, like I don't really know much about vapes, but they have a light in them. So often you'll like drive at night and you'll see a UFO light
yes.
on the roadside. It's a vape LED light.
But I didn't realise that you vaping is you smoke a battery essentially, don't you?
I've no idea.
I think there's a battery in it. So in terms of disposing of it.
Oh, if you were to design an eco product, you probably wouldn't design a vape. Let's just say that. Yeah. It's not particularly good.
Are you tired of the same old chat about saving the planet? You know, like the reduce, reuse, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's time to shake things up because season two of the Tread Lightly podcast is here and we're diving deeper than your recycling bin.
This season, we're talking about community, faith, and yes, even why humans behave so weirdly sometimes when it comes to conversations about the environment.
Oh my gosh, they do. But there's no boring lectures here. So just real talk, tough questions and a little bit of banter along the way because let's face it, we all need to lighten up when we're trying to save the planet, right?
So if you're ready to stop tiptoeing around some of the big environmental stuff, get real and join the conversations. Come Tread Lightly with us.
Catch season two of the Tread Lightly podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts, like now. So your mission now is to do what, Mr. Paul?
Amazing, Kieran Paul, thank you. I don't know. I think I want to, I want people to realize that to be an inverted commas artist, anyone can be one.
Yeah, that's cool.
And you can make art out of literally anything. You know, I make it out of crap. You know, my dream is to take a lot of show on tour. You know, I did a show in Luton with supported by Ideas Test in April, a live audience show.
And is that comedy and art combined?
Yeah. And like it was on I did like a presentation, some fun stories about the art, and there's a really cool science experiment I do, which I'll tell you about in a minute. I'd love, yeah, so that's my dream. I don't know, like, you know, if those people go back and think differently. Like, I don't expect people to go out suddenly litter picking, because it is quite an ask, and also there's like hygiene issues. Like, some people just don't want to, you know, like, and I don't expect people to listen to this and go, oh, I'm going to go litter picking. Like, that's, it's quite an ask to do that. I like doing it, so that's why I do it, but I wouldn't expect any other people to do it. I just want people to maybe see the litter. I think that's really important. So like, people just walk along and not see it.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
I think I'd rather people see it now. So like, they might listen to this and be like, oh, I can see that. Oh yeah, I didn't realize there was like 4 Red Bull cans down there, and they've been there for like 3 years.
We were talking downstairs, weren't we, about different attitudes in different countries. Can you tell us a little bit about that and kind of what you've learned about kind of attitudes to litter?
Because you've got lots of friends across Europe, right?
Well, yeah, so I've I do. Like Rubbish Nuke on Instagram, like I'm connected to some amazing litter picking groups across Europe. And there's something called plogging, which is jogging while litter picking, and it's kind of like a sport, and it's, I think it's massive in like Germany and Holland, and they do like marathons now where you just go and like litter pick a city.
Wow.
I'm not fit enough to do that, so that would be a disaster if I did that. But yeah, so like I guess the attitude is slightly different, but I think like plogging is becoming quite big over in this country as well. I had never heard of it before. Like, I
started, so you literally, you jog, stop, with a bag, pick up the litter.
Yeah, so it's like, it's actually quite, it's a lot more difficult than it sounds, because you're stopping every like.
Yeah.
So I don't actually like I would really struggle. So when I go litter picking, I'm like, oh, Kieran, I'm going to go for a jog. And I'm like, oh, I can't.
Cause you end up with a big bag of litter to carry as well.
But you stop every like 5 yards. So yeah. Your best bet is just to not go somewhere that's littered. But
yeah, I'm afraid then that kind of defeats the object a bit.
Very,
I guess,
difficult. So yeah, so like I've noticed that. And there's something else. There's another sport involved in it as well, but I can't quite remember what it is.
And do you find in those countries that there is less litter? Is there less litter?
I would assume so, yeah. I've not been there, but yeah, I would assume so, yeah.
And the attitudes of like different places as well.
Yeah, but I'm not very well travelled, so I'm not probably the best person to ask, but I suspect so. But then, you know, like I've noticed if you ever go to central London, there's barely any litter, and there's more people in central London than anywhere else in the country.
Yeah.
And it's because they've got constant people going around cleaning,
more
constant
resources.
Councils, yeah. So like, it's not, you know, like I was, if you genuinely go to central London and look around, there won't be much litter.
I guess it's in their interest to keep central London clean.
Well, there's so many reasons, for security reasons, so many reasons. But yeah, like it's...
A grass verge in Walderslade doesn't...
Yeah.
You know, I guess.
Well, less people see it, I suppose.
Yeah.
A really cool experiment I do in the workshop and in the live show. So basically, did you know that inside every can is a plastic bag? Like right?
No, I didn't.
So basically, if you get like a Coke can or I'm pretty sure any can, aluminium can, you sand the outside of it off. So like the red bit, the protective bit, and then you just get raw aluminium. You put it inside really strong drain cleaner or sodium hydroxide, but I just did drain cleaner, and leave it for 3 hours. And it would, and I play a time lapse of the video, and it just dissolves the aluminium, and you are left with like a, you know, like when you go to Antelli and they have the fish in the bag, like
really?
Do you know what I mean? The fish in the bag at like a fair or something. You kind of have that, but Coke inside it.
How?
So you have this like lick bag, and the idea behind, there's a few reasons. Like, A, your drink would taste metallic if it didn't have that, and I think it's something to do with the acids as well of the drink. It would actually affect the metal, but very few people know this, and like, so hence why like they take a while to decompose. So I do this like video, and I've done it to adults, and I'm like, wow. And I did it to the kids this last week, and I'm like, oh my god, I never knew that. And yeah, so wow. Inside every single, I'm pretty sure it's every single can.
If you could see Liz's face now, listeners, she's saying like, oh my god.
I mean, it's for understandable reasons. Like, yeah. I totally understand it. You know, it's very functional, and I suspect if you took it out, then you wouldn't be able to use the cans anymore.
How can you recycle a can though if there's a soft plastic bag inside it?
I don't quite understand that. No, so okay. I'm not, you'll have to get a far cleverer guest on than me to answer that.
And my second question is why does the drain cleaner not dissolve the plastic bag?
Again, you'll have to get a far cleverer guest.
I
than
reckon
me.
It's not plastic.
I don't
conspiracy.
Know what it is. Yeah, mate, I don't know what, but. And then, yes, so I was just like in the experiment, you just like hold this thing and you've got like the top of the can that's like a normal can still.
Oh,
and the
my
bottom
God.
Of it, it's just like...
A bag of coke.
Yeah, which is a very different thing. And that would have been a very different video, which it wasn't. Let's
not
confirm.
Not for schools.
Not for anyone, really. But
Mr. Paul's bag of coke experiment.
But yeah, so like that's just one thing that like, or like, do you know, like 100% of baby sea turtles have plastics in them?
What?
100%, every single one. There was a study recently, I don't know if you saw it, about men's testicles. Have you seen that?
That was 100% as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they only did like 40, oh, I can't remember the numbers. The study was quite, and like dogs' testicles as well, yeah? So like, Jesus, you know, Christ. Stuff like that. But then like, it's quite, like in our stomachs, there's obviously always going to be microplastics because like, every time you drink from a bottle. So it's not actually as shocking as it sounds, although with the, you know, I can't really comment on the testicle thing, so I've no idea how that works. But yeah, the baby sea turtles thing is like, that's the one. It's like, oh no, little sea turtles.
But microplastics, when you're only micro-sized, is a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a big deal anyway.
And I was like, there's this thing as well. I was showing the kids that, like, so you quite often find like a bottle with a lid on that a rat or a small mammal has like wanted the sugar inside the drink. So they've gnawed at the lid right with their teeth, and there's like a hole in the lid where they've gnawed away from it, and those are scratches. And then of course they drink the whatever's left in the bottle, but where do those plastics go inside them? So then they die. So you've got like quite, and very sadly, quite often you find litter with dead animals in it. God. Because they go in and they can't get back out.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
like a glass bottle. Yeah, like a beer bottle. Yeah, they go in, they can't get back out.
Oh God!
So they go in because they want the
sugar.
Yeah, yeah, whatever attracts them, and then but you quite often find lids that are just like really like it's a rat, a mouse, I don't know. They've gnawed away from it, and they've managed to get the quite often Lucozade lids are fine because they're high in glucose, aren't they? So you get a lid and it's like got a hole in it where it's been ripped apart by a little animal.
Oh.
And then I would assume that would probably kill them at some point because they have just, you know,
ingested all that plastic.
Yeah. And they're very small themselves. So it's stuff like that, like, you know, some people might go, oh, well, but like, you know, it's like, well, hang on a minute. Like, that's us. That's humans, isn't it, that have done that? No other animal drops.
It's all
Lucozade
very well
bottles.
Finger pointing, isn't it? But you're right. It's us as a species.
Gosh, that's so sad, isn't it? I did hear something about you though.
About me? Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I like that surprise in your voice there. Like, you have got a thing about trolleys. We like trolleys.
Yes. Don't we?
And have you spotted some trolleys and had an idea about these trolleys and what you would like to do?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of trolleys in Strood, River Medway. I mean, there's trolleys everywhere. There's a river, there's trolleys. And there's, I don't know how long they've been there. I reckon there's about 35 to 50 trolleys there. Some of them are quite new. Some of them look like...
Is this by Morrison's?
Yeah. They look like they've been there a long time. And I'd love to take them out and turn them into like mobile gardens. You can fill them in like compost and plant stuff in them.
Lovely.
And then you can take them to schools. Kids can learn all sorts of things about plants and recycling. It's just really difficult, the logistics of getting them out there. So like that's what the struggle is at the moment. But it's something that I'd like to do, but I don't know if it's possible.
So... can we share our experience with you with pulling trolleys out of a river?
I would love that. Go on.
So we...
is that why you're really muddy?
Always, yeah.
We went to along the estuary down in Raynham, and we spotted that there, like you, spotted that there were some trolleys in the river. And
well, they were buried in the sand, really, weren't they?
In the mud,
it was...
And we were like, oh, let's see if we can get them out. Logistically, absolute nightmare, by the way. But we managed to make some friends with Birdwise.
Are we friends, by the way?
RSPB. Always.
Okay, yeah, friends. Yeah, just checking.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Cool. So we managed to go down there and we got a couple of volunteers and we thought, wow, it's not going to be that hard, is it? Like, chuck a hook.
Yeah.
Oink it out. Yeah. Like, how hard can that be? Oh my gosh, Kieran. Was this not insane?
It was not only so difficult, but it was so smelly. Do you remember the smell of them when they had all that estuary sludge all over their feet? And
but it was so hard, wasn't it? It was actually really difficult. So
it was great teamwork though. It was Birdwise, Peel Ports, RSPB, Medway Norse.
And Medway Estuary Swell Partnership. And I honestly, it was a really good day in the end. We didn't have anything. Half as cool as then turning into something because...
well, they were a bit degraded, weren't they?
Well, I don't know if they... yeah, I mean, some of them will be so far gone.
But so we are here for you. We're like cheering you on.
Thank you.
Get these trolleys out.
The guy's name was David, wasn't it? He got nominated for an award. Yeah. But
imagine if there's a shopping list still in there. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, my God.
From like 1950s. A bit of paper that survived.
Conserved in the mud.
I don't know what was there before, because that whole park and Morrison's is quite new, isn't it? Like, when I say new, like 20 years.
They've cleared those trolleys out within the last couple of years. I think they just get replenished, because I'm sure...
There's a group that look like they've been there for an extremely long time.
Oh, maybe but someone got stuck.
They're quite inaccessible.
They have definitely done trolley removal at Morrison's. And the reason why I say that is the guy that helped us, this David guy.
They got 50 out on their last go.
At Morrison's in Stroud.
But you're right. I'll put a question then. Have you ever seen actually anyone put a trolley in a river? I don't think anyone's ever seen it happen.
Lobbed a trolley in the river. I'm done now. Yeah, bye.
I'd love, I've never seen it happen yet. I've seen so many trolleys in rivers. They just.
This a long way out as well, aren't they?
Someone said to me the other day, have you ever seen a microwave advert on telly? And it blew my mind, right? Just a thought
there. Oh my God.
You've never seen a microwave advertised on telly. Right? And no one's ever seen a microwave advertised on telly. And no one's ever seen someone put a trolley in a river. If you've seen both, you're just like, you're
not real.
Yeah.
No, that is a very good
microwave thing blew my mind, but yeah, I've never seen anyone put a trolley in a river yet.
That is actually,
wherever you
you're
go.
Gonna set her off in a giggling fit, but you are so right.
But do people do it? I don't know, even as a kid, I remember questioning, why is there a trolley there, mummy?
And she on the microwave.
Oh, microwave. Oh, okay. Well, there might be a trolley. Don't put a trolley in a microwave, because that would be potentially disastrous. Especially if there's a list in there, because that's a waste of art.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
So what's your... So you take your art on the road. You do your workshops with school children.
I do podcasts like this.
Podcasts like this? Your podcast.
No. As in I go on podcasts
Come
like
and
this.
Talk to people
but
like
what
us.
I would say is there's no podcast like this.
That's beautiful.
No podcast like this.
As in this is the only one of its kind.
Of course.
Yeah, that's what I
mean. Of course.
Clearly I don't present them because I can't speak. clearly I don't get across meaning. So clearly I don't present any anymore.
What's your kind of end goal? So people that come and enjoy your art, buy your art, take part in your workshops, what do you want them to get out of it?
To see the litter. Yeah, that's it really. Just to see the litter and know it exists.
Start conversations.
Yeah. See it. And if they, they want to pick it up, great. If they don't, not a problem.
How amazing that you could start to make a living from clearing up the planet. That seems to be where we've got to end up being, right?
There's not a lot of money in it, and it's very hard.
Should be.
And people expect me to do it for free. But yeah, I would, if you paid me to litter pick, I would do it. I've not got an issue with that.
Litter picking job.
Yeah. I love doing it. And if I'd never moved to Medway, this is I quite like the fact that, right? So obviously I met you guys at the Pride of Medway Awards, and I was thinking that night, if I'd never moved to Medway, I would never have bought a pool table.
Oh yeah.
I would never have picked litter up because I noticed it was bad in Medway, right?
Yeah.
So if I'd never bought a pool table, I'd have just picked litter and that's it.
Never had that conversation with your mate.
No, exactly. Or being a litter picker, yeah? Just and it could have been this conversation saying, I pick a load of litter up and I try and make the place better. But that's it. So loads of things fell into place. And me finding a house to rent with a garden the size that I need a pool table. There's so many little things that have come together.
You're meant to be here, aren't you?
Maybe. But it's, it's really hard to explain what I do, because as soon as you say outdoor pool table, people are like, what are you talking about? What? An outdoor swimming pool? No, a pool table.
I never knew that you can get an outdoor pool table, to be fair.
I will admit, nor did I before I bought it. So
that is quite clever.
You're very swanky, aren't you? And an outdoor pool table. That is very cool.
In my one-bedroom house. Oh, God, yeah.
The
people are like, you must be loaded. And I was like, right, have a think about that. If I was loaded, the pool table would be inside the house because I'd have enough space for it.
Yeah, that's true.
In your
games room.
Yeah, precisely.
One day, when you make your money from your litter.
An indoor pool. Goodness me. I'm
still sat here trying to think of a name for you, and I still, at the end of this...
Mr. Paul.
It's still Mr. Paul, mate. I'm really sorry.
I think the fact that you make art on pool tables and your surname is Paul, I think you're missing an opportunity to not call yourself Mr. Paul.
Or I've missed an opportunity not to call it Rubbish Paul at the beginning and not Rubbish Snooker.
Rubbish Paul.
Rubbish Paul.
I still don't understand the difference between Paul and Snooker, so it's...
Snooker's outrageously complicated. Paul's quite simple.
I'm the master of pool.
There you go. Well, come and play on my outdoor table. If you can play wind-assisted pool, then
is the thing. Do you know, one of my, you have these crazy facts. I worked in a prison for 10 years.
So did I.
Did you?
I did some work in a prison, yeah.
And every shift for 10 years, I played pool. Did you? And so I am now one of those.
Pool tables in there. Yeah,
I am one of those really random people that really easily go in, put my quid on, and someone will go, "Want a game?" I go, "Yeah." And they think, "Oh, look at her, little woman.
You don't realise,
don't really know who she's playing.
How seasoned
bam, bam,
I am.
Bam, bam.
Are you really good?
Yeah, obviously,
but no, you might beat me. I have no issue.
You might beat me.
You might beat me.
You're on.
Thank you so much for coming and spending this lunchtime with us.
Where can we find you, Mr. Paul?
Rubbishsnooker.com or rubbishsnooker on Instagram.
Go and follow him, people. Go and check his beautiful art out and see how he can support any community event that you have got going on. And obviously, see if he can do anything with these trolleys. I'm very excited by this. Very, very excited. Anyway, thank you so very much, you wonderful, wonderful. Is that enough wonderfuls?
Oh, it's up to you.
Wonderful Kieran Paul.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode of the Tread Lightly podcast. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and maybe, like Hayley and myself, even picked up a new perspective along the way.
If you did, do not keep it to yourself. You need to give us a like, rate the podcast and share it with somebody who needs to hear it. And of course, follow us on all of our social media, which is hilarious because we are on LinkedIn, TikTok, oh my gosh, Facebook and Instagram. And you can also stay in the loop for more episodes and updates. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, keep treading lightly.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.